To have Dr. Cindy Trim with us this morning. She's coming to minister to the word of the Lord. Just before she comes, if you have a little one in the service with you and you feel that he or she might not be able to make it all the way through the service, we'd like to remind you we have excellent nursery facilities downstairs and excellent staff. We have nursery for infants and toddlers. We have kinder church and children's church. Also, if you have a BlackBerry, a Blueberry, a Cranberry, a Raspberry, if you have a cell phone, if you have anything that goes beep, would you please turn it off or put it on mute? God is about to text us, and we don't want anything to interrupt his text message to us. Amen? Dr. Cindy Trim is coming. She is the author of two best-selling books, Commanding Your Morning and The Rules of Engagement. She is the founder of Cindy Trim Ministries and travels all over the world preaching the good news of Jesus and preaching a message of culture transformation. She is the founder of Kingdom University, which equips men and women to go and to transform their world through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. It is that we've been having a great time together. You know, sometimes you just meet somebody, and the minute you meet them, you're just home. And that's the way we felt about Dr. Cindy. We've had some wonderful service. We've been working you hard. This is service number 4. Would you please stand to your feet and give your warmest harvest time welcome to Dr. Cindy Trim.
Would you continue to clap your hand for the visionary, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Denise? And then keep clapping your hands and celebrate the person on your left and right. Now give yourself a standing ovation. Give yourself a standing ovation. It's just a pleasure to be here. You may take your seat. It's just a pleasure to be here this morning, and it's always a humble privilege of mine. And when I went inside and came back out, I just felt stronger than ever until Jewel just wrote a note to me. She said, "Do you realize that you have been in 5 countries and how many? 9 cities? 5 countries and 9 cities in the last 10 days. All of a sudden, I felt tired. And I've been to Swaziland and South Africa and England and Bahamas and here in the United States in the last 10 days. And that's a lot of traveling. And then I came to the United States and all the pollen, we're in spring, so the pollen is kind of sort of affecting my eyes a little bit. I have just a slight allergy. And it's interesting. Because the contributing factor, the emotional contributing factors to allergies is someone irritating you. So I got to figure out who's irritating me. And if I could get rid of that person, I could get rid of my allergies. But that's the emotional for real. I'm one of my backgrounds is I have a psychotherapeutic background. My chosen career was psychotherapy. And a portion of that was to help people to figure out what the contributing factors are to their dis-ease and their ailments. And a part of the emotional contributing factor is like a person that has lower back pain, the contributing factor is worry about money. When they're concerned about money, the lower back pain. Anybody got lower back pain? We can get you healed right now by giving you $1,000 and you'll be straight. Amen. But the contributing factor is financial concerns, financial weight. When you have upper shoulder problems, it is because you're carrying the weight of the world. You don't feel as if you have anyone to help you to carry, you know, your load. You're usually there for everybody else, but for you. And then there's all, you know, when you break parts of your body, like your fingers, each one of your fingers means something. Your toes, each one of it means something. Every ailment, whether it is high blood pressure, the emotional contributing factor to that is long-standing emotional problems, things that has been there for a little while, and it causes, these are the emotional contributing factors. Of course, you have the medical part of it that works with it, but these are the emotional contributing factors, and the people that were my clients, a part of the reasons why they came to me was because of the level of accuracy and then how quickly they got over the problems. And we saw people with heart problems, high blood pressure. We had a gentleman that had an ailment, and he had an itching problem, and it couldn't be healed, and he would have to go into hot showers to relieve himself. Can you imagine it, just your whole body itching like that? And of course, he had topical treatments and steroids and all kinds of stuff that he had been under for years. And he came to me, he said, "Do you think you can, you know, do something with this?" And so we gave them this instrument that I use to determine what the emotional contributing factors are. And you just answer just a few questions. And once you answer the few questions, I'm able to basically tell you where you are emotionally and what needs to be fixed and what you need to do to get over this. And so he came to me, and he was kind of a little bit skeptical because he had been to the best doctors. And after the second, I not only told him what the emotional contributing factors were, but I recommended to him some natural medications, all natural. And in 1 week, his situation had turned totally around, and he was off of all medications. And he couldn't believe this. He wanted to leave his job, and he wanted to work for me. And in fact, he did come and he did work for me for about 6 months as a consultant. But it's interesting that there are some basic things that God has given us. And a lot of us are running around looking for pharmaceutical help. But it's either going to be Mother Nature, who is heaven's chemist, or it's going to be these pharmaceuticals. They fix one thing and they destroy others. Have you ever noticed? You know, that you get some medication and it says it's going to fix your allergies. And then it says you're going to have heart palpitation, high blood pressure, and everything else. And we don't want to fix one thing when God has a solution. And a part of that solution is really prayer. And I think prayer can fix everything. Because God will give you a strategy. He'll give you a solution. And what we've learned in prayer, we've learned how to talk to God. But we haven't learned the art of listening. And when you talk to God, you should spend some time just listening. You know, the Bible said, "Ask and it shall be given you." And many times we curse the answer when we should change the question. And sometimes our questions are wrong. Why does this always happen to me? Well, the universe is going to give you 50,000 reasons why it's happening to you. But here's another way that you could deal with your problems. How can I avoid this ever happening to me? Well, that's a different question, isn't it? So God is going to give you a solution. He's going to give you a strategy. He's going to give you a tool to fix those problems. And that's what we are looking for. All of us are on the same journey, and we're trying to make sense out of our lives. I know that I'm trying to make sense out of my life. And I know that sometimes we have those curves, balls that are thrown, those bumps in the road, that no matter how much we pray and no matter how much we live for God, life happens. Life happens to us. We've got people to deal with. We may be doing the right things, but sometimes the people that we're associated with may have problems, and they may not be doing the right things, and they may make decisions that affect our lives negatively. And so we have to deal with those things. We have to deal with the fact that sometimes we live in a world where the economy collapses. I was in Zimbabwe, and when I was in Zimbabwe under the leadership of Mugabe, one of the most interesting things happened. Every day, the economy was shifting, and they had to print money every single day. Can you imagine buying a hamburger that costs you $1 million? It's unbelievable because it was just spiking. The currency was changing in value so much so it was something like 1,000%, something crazy like that. And so I am officially a millionaire because I have the Zimbabwe dollars to prove it. But in Zimbabwe, things were changing so quickly. And a lot of the thinkers and a lot of the leadership was leaving Zimbabwe. So not only was the economy collapsing, and it collapsed until they don't have economy. They're using South African rands, and they're using American dollars now because the Zim dollar, it has no value. And in a world that is changing so rapidly, and in our generation, I've never seen the world in this state before within my generation. And that means that all of us are trying to make sense out of our lives. And when you come to church, we don't just come to church to just sing beautiful songs, and they're great, and to worship. But we are coming so that God can give us a strategy for our lives. And we are listening to God. And when we walk out of here, we should walk out with at least one tool that helps us to make a difference. When they invited me to go to Zimbabwe at that particular time, it was interesting because you'll see my picture on the front page along with Mugabe's wife. And we were dealing with the shifts, the 40 shifts that the world would have to face, and how we would have to be able to develop the skill and the ability to deal with the changing world. And it was interesting, the day that I was lecturing there was the day that they discovered uranium. And one day later, the Asians gave them a gift, and it was in the millions of dollars. And why would they give them a gift? They gave them a gift because uranium is needed to make warheads. And it's interesting that the world is able to see the potential in economies that are dying or dead. And God wants to open up your eyes and my eyes to see the treasure that he has hidden on the inside of us. And this is vitally important, because if you stay in the world system, it's possible to be a believer but still have your mind in the kingdom of darkness. He said, be not conformed to this world, because the world changes, and it changes quickly. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when Jesus preached, he preached a message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that word repent, change the way that you think. It has to deal with a paradigm. A paradigm is like the Norton system. It simply means that if you get information that you have no context for and you don't recognize, your mind kicks it out and says, I don't recognize this. And this is why coming to church is important, because when you come into the kingdom, how God views the world is different from how man views it. And this is why when he said you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of God. It is the absence of good. It is the absence of information. It is the absence of revelation. So when he brings you into the kingdom of light, you have God, you have good. Every good and perfect gifts come from the Father. That means it's impossible for you to have another bad day. Your day is either going to be good or perfect, because he created it. This is the day that the Lord has what? Made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because it can only end up good. And you've got to repeat these things over your life, over and speak it over your life over and over again. Because your words, the Bible said, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. In other words, your life has to come into alignment with what you speak over it. And all the promises in God are yea and they are amen. In other words, there's no negotiation. If God speaks it, it is going to come to pass, and you could take it to the bank. You are either going to listen to CNN, constant negative news, or you're going to listen to the good news. And that's the gospel. Whatever you hear the most, you're going to have faith in that thing. This is how the scripture says it. For faith cometh by hearing, and what? And hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Whatever you hear the most, you're going to have the faith in the most. And if you want to change your faith, if your faith is shaky, then you've got to listen, and you've got to observe, and you've got to watch what you are hearing. Because what you hear affects what you see. If you don't see a way out, that means you've got to get the promise of God that has to do with that thing that you're struggling with. Repent. Change the way. Change your paradigm. This is that word, paradigm shift. The Bible says that He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness, where God doesn't exist, where there's no good, where there's evil, where there's no revelation, where there's insufficient information, into the kingdom of light, where God lives, where good lives, where there's revelation, where there's information. And it's interesting because he used the word transliterate. It comes from a Greek word, which means to place back on one's feet. Sometimes we trip, we fall. And sometimes it even has the connotation of walking on your head. Can you imagine if you walk on your head long enough, the blood is going to be rushing down. You are not going to think straight. So when he transliterates you, he gives you the ability to think straight. You're going to think straight. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That means you don't have money problems. You have thought problems. You don't have relationship problems. You have thinking problems. Are you hearing me? It is your thoughts. And so what God said, the thoughts that I think towards you, Jeremiah 29:11, the thoughts that I think towards you, they are good and not of evil to bring you to expected end. The Bible says, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his dear son. So we end up being good anyway. The way you end your life, in other words, to me, this is saying that your death date is more important than your birth date. Let me just break it down a little further. This is the worst your life could ever look like. This is the worst your life could ever be. Why? We are being conformed to his image. So that means every day with Jesus gets sweeter as the day goes by. And having said that, wow, having said that, how many countries I've been in and how many cities? 5 countries, 9 cities. Wow. And that's interesting. And I love doing this. And I feel stronger and I feel better. Well, ask me why. Ask me why. Since you asked me, I think I'm going to answer you. If you didn't ask me, I wouldn't have told you. I feel good because I'm in harvest time. I love this church. It's a wonderful expression of who God is. And I thank you so much for embracing me. There's a saying in the inner city. I didn't grow up in the inner city. I grew up British American. Grew up British. And I learned how to be American. So I grew up British American. The British are a little somewhat conservative. Americans are not as conservative. So I'm British American. And I just so happen to have learned Ebonics. My English was a little different from American. I learned how to speak American because people kept saying, "What are you saying?" You know, so I learned how to talk, change my accent. But I also know how to talk British and Bermudian. And I could throw the accent down anytime I get good and ready. Okay. So in Ebonics, there is a saying that goes like this, off the chain. Then there's another one that says, for shizzle, my nizzle. You ever heard that? Off the chain. Off the chain simply means incredible. It's another saying for incredible. And I just want you to know that this church is off the chain. Now, if you say for shizzle my nizzle, you should have an extra melatonin there. And I'm not going to tell you what that means. Amen. For shizzle. But there's a good thing, right, in the inner city. Amen. It's a good thing. For shizzle my nizzle. Amen. When you go into your job and you are sitting in front of your employer and he gives you a raise, you got to say for shizzle my nizzle. Let's look at the scripture from out of the book of Esther. We won't be before you long, but we've been talking about the 12 things that you need to talk to God about. You need to get the whole tape series. We started last night, and this is our fourth time in less than 24 hours to be talking to you. And I thank you once again for embracing me and embracing my style of ministry. But in the book of Esther, chapter number 4, there's an interesting conversation. And a lot of people want to know how to pray. I didn't try to be the prayer general. In fact, I didn't call myself a prayer general. That's what the world called me. She's a prayer general. Why? She knows how to pray. She's got all these books and she's helping us to pray. Well, I learned how to pray because I was in the middle of a crisis and I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know the vocabulary. I didn't know the words and I wanted to learn how to pray. And I learned over the last couple of years how to pray, and God gave me these books, and I want to bless someone with these books today. This is the rules of engagement, and this is how they engage the enemy. This has a lot to do with the weapons. There's a scripture that says no weapon formed against you will prosper, but nobody tells us what the weapons are, so they prosper. And then there's one called binding the strong man. There's another portion of this, and this has to do with the spirit that keeps communities bound and families bound. Have you ever noticed that there are some families everyone's educated, and there are other families where everyone's an addict? Could it be that there is a strong man that is prevailing, creating the spirits of inheritance? Could it be that when you're fighting for your family, there might be a strong man, and it could be possible that you are wiping out subordinate spirits, but the strong man stays entrenched. This is the rules of engagement. This is about dealing with spiritual warfare. To me, everything has to do with spirits. If you're dealing with the addictions in a community, to me, it starts as a spirit. If you deal with domestic violence, that's a spirit. When you deal with the whole issue of human trafficking, there's got to be a spirit behind that. When you deal with pornography, and this is why governments now, they're overwhelmed with crime. It was Einstein that said that problems that are started in one level cannot be solved in the same level or dimension that they are started. And government keeps going back to the natural and try to develop more natural ways of dealing with problems and dealing with crime. And have you noticed that the crime is exacerbating? It is not changing? Because you've got to understand that it starts in the realm of the spirit, hence spiritual warfare. And we wrote this book to deal with these issues. Is there anyone that needs to deal with spiritual issues? You can come. I'm not going to come to you. Amen. I was looking at you too. God bless you. God bless you. You'll enjoy that book. This one is the Atomic Power Prayer. Spiritual warfare deals with decreeing and declaring. And this is where we begin to teach you about how to decree and how to declare. But this one is about resisting. You decree and declare, but you also have to resist. It's called the Atomic Power Prayer. One of my friends is Einstein's grandson. And we have had an occasion to be with him. In fact, I have a university, and he was one of the keynotes for one of our graduation exercises. And he's about science, and I love Einstein. And the Lord began to talk to me about the Atomic Power Prayer, how to blast your way into victory, how to destroy prevailing powers around. So this one is about resisting powers of darkness. I was in Africa, and they were working voodoo, not only in Africa, but Jamaica. And they were working voodoo, and they had put these bottles under a tree that was near the church. And one day I went to preach, and I opened the door, and all these bats came flying out. This is real stuff. I didn't believe it was real until I've seen some stuff, right? And I had to learn how to put up resistance. This is the Atomic Power of Prayer. Amen. There are more out the back. I'm going to encourage everyone, get the book, get the tape. Is there anyone that needs to blast their way into situations? Now, you know I'm going to have two more. So if you want the two, you better get in line. This is the purpose of the church. A lot of times we don't understand that the church is not only the gathering of the believer, but the church is kingdom hospital. The church is the kingdom educational institution. This is the purpose of the church. This is a DVD. I want to bless someone with, you know, you could be new or young or older, and you want to know anything about the church, please come and get it. It's first come, first serve. You know that I have one more, and after the service, I'm going to give you this one. Okay. This is, I love this. I wrote this book. I wrote it by revelation, commending your morning. Job said, why is this thing always happening to me? And God said, have you commended your morning since the beginning of your days to shake evil out of its place? If you don't take your place in this world, evil will take your place. And so it's forwarded by Dr. Miles Monroe, Chuck Pierce, and a number of other people. And we want you to get a copy of this. This will revolutionize your life. Even though I wrote it, I still study it and I still read it, because the first thing is let there be light. Phenomenal. And so we want to give the young lady that is in the back, come to me and I'll give you this book. Amen. Let's go to the Word of God. And I only have a few minutes left to address you. And I promise you, I won't be before you long. Amen. I learned about public speaking. You either take a bow and they ask for an encore, or they boo you off and never invite you back. So I'd rather take a bow and you say encore rather than boo me off and never come back. Amen. So I'm going to do a drive-by shooting or microwave style. Amen. I want to speak to you about the assignment. If you're talking to God and you're having a conversation with God, beyond praying for the souls, beyond praying for our city, beyond praying for our presidents, beyond praying for world leaders, beyond praying for the ministry in the church and the family in church, there comes a point where you've got to talk to God about his original plan and purpose for your life. This morning and yesterday, we talked about the 12 things. If you're going to talk to God, there are 12 things that you need to talk to God about. This is having a personal conversation with God. I just call it a big conversation. The things that I want to talk to God and I need to know about what he has called me to do. Things about like purpose, assignment, things like legacy my heritage, things like purpose. These are the things that each one of us should know about. The Bible says that we perish because of a lack of knowledge. The greatest weapon that the enemy is using against the church is not demonic forces, is not principality, is not cancer, is not AIDS. The greatest weapon that the enemy uses against not only the church, but humanity is the weapon of ignorance. The Bible said that we perish not because of cancer. We perish not because of demonic activities. We perish for a lack of knowledge. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm concerned about your ignorance. To the degree that you are informed is the degree by which you succeed and prosper in life. The Bible says, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. There's a lot of people that fight the prosperity message. That is because the world is fighting it. The Bible said that it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Therefore, if you want to destroy the evil, you've got to get the money. It is the money that is underwriting evil. The Bible said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The wealth is not only money, but the wealth is also their mind share, their methodology, their machinery, how they make things work. The Bible said the children of darkness are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Why are they wiser? Wisdom is the ability to apply information. That's wisdom. Knowing the right time, knowing the right season. This is what wisdom is all about. The church has access to the mind of God, the genius of God. It's not that we don't have access. It's just that we need to apply. It's the application that is missing. You can have revelation, but revelation without application is frustration. A lot of people are frustrated because they hear the truth, but they're not able to apply the truth. And if you don't apply the truth, you are not going to have your manifestation. And this is why there's a discrepancy between what you hear on Sunday and what is applied on Monday. And we need to narrow the gap now. We need to narrow it down so that you are the living proof of the message that you hear on a Sunday. The Bible said that we are living epistles read of man. People don't so much listen to what we say, but they watch what we do. And oftentimes, we are preaching success. We are preaching prosperity. And the world is fighting the prosperity message because they have dwindled it down to money. But we understand prosperity, the outward appearance of prosperity may be money, but that's not the bottom line. When the apostle said, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Prosperity is having enough divine enablement to overcome obstacles. In other words, whatever there is an obstacle, you prosper when you overcome those obstacles. The obstacles can be emotional. They can be relational. They can be spiritual. They could be financial. We don't want to just say that it's financial, but the prosperity message is an important message. Why? Because the enemy wants to throw curveballs. He wants to have bumps in the road where we end up stopping. But I understand that successful people start where failures end. God doesn't want you to end it in the bump of the road or the curve in the road. He wants you to understand that when you end your life, you are going to end your life strong. You are going to end your life on a high note. It is God's will for you to prosper. It is God's will for you to succeed. Again, prosperity is having enough divine enablement to overcome obstacles. It means that when I stand here, I'm going to have to overcome obstacles to get into my future. And therefore, when I overcome an obstacle, prosperity says that where I end up is better than what I left. Therefore, when I come here, I'm going to have more obstacles, and he's going to give me the divine enablement to press out of these set of circumstances into a new set of circumstances so that when the new set of circumstances show up, I have divine enablement to overcome the obstacles so that I could press out of those old set of circumstances into a new set of circumstances, so that the new set of circumstances is better than the old set of circumstances, which was better than the old set of circumstances, so that when I get into the new set of circumstances, I am not stuck. He's going to cause me to prosper, to press out of those set of circumstances into a new set of circumstances, so that the new set of circumstances are better than the old ones, which are better than the old ones, which are better than the old ones. In other words, your life is going to get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. One of the reasons why obstacles is important, and one of the reasons why we know that the devil has to be a part of God's program, not so much so that it was a part of God's original plan. It wasn't. It's just that the devil is being used to build strong spiritual muscles in your life and my life. We understand that whenever you start lifting weights, you lift weights so you can build muscles, and you can only build muscles with resistance. So therefore, whatever area the enemy is resisting you in, it is because God is building spiritual muscles in that area. So prosperity gives you the ability to push through circumstances so that you prosper. God doesn't only want you to prosper, he wants you to succeed. Success is different from prosperity. Prosperity is the divine enablement to press out of one set of circumstances into a new set of circumstances so that the new set of circumstances are better than the old set of circumstances. But success, God said to Joshua, do you want to be successful in life and do you want to prosper? Of course, the answer is yes. Then he said, meditate on my word day and night. And that means that as you meditate on the word of God day and night, in other words, sometimes you got to shut off CNN. You got to shut off ABC. You got to shut off BBC. And you've got to tune into what God is saying. And when you tune into what God is saying, you begin to meditate on that word day and night. Why? Because your words are only the expression of a thought. Therefore, when you speak and when you communicate, the primary source of your communication is your thoughts. The Bible said, whatsoever you think, make sure that as you are thinking, you're thinking on things that are honest and true and just and lovely, things that have a praise report. Think on these things. Why? Because your thoughts determine the outcome of your future. As a man thinketh, in his heart, so is he. That means you don't have money problems, you have thought problems. And that means that you are only one thought away from your breakthrough. If you change what you think, you can change who you are. If you change what you think, you listen to me carefully. God said to Abraham, took him up on a mountain and said, Abraham, I want to give you world influence. And he said, I want you to walk the length, the breadth, the width of this earth. In other words, go up the Himalayan mountain, go across the Atlantic Ocean, go across the Indian Ocean. That was impossible for him to do it in the natural. But what happened? Abraham took a journey in his mind. As a man thinketh in his mind, wherever you journey in your mind, that's where you're going to end up in your life. That means that if you don't like where you are today, you are one thought away from being somewhere else. In other words, you've got to think, and then you've got to put yourself where you see yourself. And that is your responsibility. And isn't that what success is? Success is the ability to put yourself where you see yourself. And so when God says, I want you to be successful, success, therefore, is the fulfillment of purpose. If you are not fulfilling your purpose, I don't care how much money you make, God does not consider you successful. He considers that an accomplishment, but he doesn't consider that a what? Success. So we don't just want accomplishments in our lives. We want God to be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Are you with me? You have been faithful with what I have given you. Now, if you're going to be successful, your success is attached to your purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, you can't be successful. So when you talk to God, you're going to ask God, God, why was I born? That's what purpose is, right? Why was I born? Now, if you're going to have success and if you're going to fulfill your purpose, that means every single day you are going to have to do something to ultimately fulfill your purpose. And the thing that you are doing is called an assignment. When you talk to God, you are not only going to talk to God about your purpose, that big reason why you were born. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. That means his purpose was to destroy the work. How was he going to do it? God was going to give him an assignment. That means that he would have several assignments. Whenever he walked, one of his assignments was to destroy the works of the devil. What was he assigned to do? Heal the sick. Why? Because that was the work of the devil. So he was assigned to heal the sick. Another thing that he was assigned to do is give sight to the blind. Why? Because blindness was the work of the devil. Have you noticed there is nowhere in scripture that Jesus healed a woman of blindness? Only healed man. And what God is doing, he's restoring visionary, ethical leadership back into our society. And you're going to see men of God being raised up as leaders. Why? Because God is going to make them visionaries. He said, I give young man dreams and old man's vision. And God is going to restore the visionary leadership back into our community. And the next visionary leaders are going to come from the church. We are not only going to be leading in the church, but we're going to be leading scientifically. We are going to be leading politically. We are going to be leading economically. We are going to be leading socially. We're going to be leading culturally. We're going to be leading. God is going to give us the strategies, and he's going to begin to open up our eyes, and he's going to remove the blindness, and we are no longer just going to see ourselves as second-class citizens. We are going to see ourselves as powerful. We are going to see ourselves as relevant. We are going to see ourselves as significant. The thing that bothers you about the world bothers God. And therefore, God will not only give you a purpose, but he will also give you an assignment. And that assignment is to bring the missing part of the puzzle back to our society so that our society can live with dignity, so that God can restore hope back to our nation, so that God can restore meaning and purpose to our nation. And this is why God has brought you into the church, not so much that you're just going to be a part of the choir, so that after Sunday, you are a part of the solution, and you're going to take it back to your communities, and you're going to take it back to your home, and he has wired you accordingly.
You are frustrated because you're looking for meaning. You're frustrated because you're looking for your purpose. You are frustrated because you are looking for your assignment. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that emptiness that you feel on the inside of you can never be fulfilled with a relationship. When you have that emptiness, you are not looking for a person. You are looking for your purpose.
My time is up. I see zero in the back. But if I could just borrow 5 minutes, how many of you would give me just 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. I got a lot of time. But I'm only beginning a conversation. It's something that I've been dealing with for the last, how old am I, 21? So I was just going to give my age. I've been preaching for 34 years. This is something that I want to do. It's my purpose. My purpose is to unlock human potential for leadership, innovation, and service to humanity. This is my purpose. My assignment is to help people to discover purpose and maximize potential. This is what I'm assigned to do. And however God wants to use me, trust me, I could move through the serendipities of the English language with oratorical finesse and stand before any government and speak their language. But I can also break it down and go into the inner city and say, for shizzle my nizzle. I can rap. I can rap. I can do anything. Because this is my assignment. Once upon a time in a nursery rhyme, there were three bears. One was the papa bear, one was the mama bear, one was the wee bear. They all came together in the deep. I could rap. My assignment, no matter where it is, whether it's with government, I get called by government all the time. I coach lawyers and doctors and government officials and presidents and businessmen. They call me on my cell phone when they're in Dubai dealing with multi-million dollar contracts and billion dollar contracts. And they call me and they say, Dr. Trim, deal or no deal. And if I say no deal, they close up and they say, thank you very much. And they leave the table. This is my assignment. And so just for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about your assignment, and then I'm finished. You've given me 5 minutes. Can you count me down? Amen. This is going to be quick. This is a drive-by shooting. You ever notice in the cops movie, when they go, they just spray and they get going? This is a prophetic drive-by shooting, and they're counting me down. Esther, the book of Esther, very important. When you talk to God, you've got to get all the tapes. You got to talk to God and take some time and say, God, what is my purpose? What is my assignment? Who should I be doing it with? And he's going to give you answers. The Bible said, ask and it shall be given you. You don't just have to sit in a congregation with other people fulfilling their assignment. God has an assignment for you. And some of your assignments may not play out in church. Some of you definitely are not called to sing in the choir. I've been listening to you this morning. Keep your day job. But there is something that each one of us are called to do. Esther chapter number 4. So Hatach, verse number 6. Let's go through this very quickly. Instead of verse number 6, let's start at verse number 12. Are you there? Tell your neighbor, hurry up, because she only has a couple of minutes. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. She asked a question. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. I came to a point in my spiritual life where I asked God, is this for real? Have I lost my mind? Have you ever been there where you just sat down one time and you say, I got to be out of my mind. I'm a Christian. Is this for real? But God does not mind you asking questions. Why? Because he's prepared to give you the answers. Think not of thyself that thou should escape the king's house. What was she asking? She was asking, what should I do? And Mordecai said, don't think just because you're the queen, you're going to escape the pressures that are going on in the world. And you're going to escape the attack on our nation, the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, if you don't fulfill your assignment, God is going to find a substitute. And I told the Lord a long time ago, there's no need to give me my substitute because I'm going to fulfill my assignment. So I fired my substitute. Either you're going to fulfill your assignment or someone else will. And he has something great. We serve a great God that created a great world for you to do some great things in it. And who knows whether thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Church membership is one thing, but God wants to take you from membership to citizenship to ambassadorship. Where you become a citizen, you learn how what it means to be a citizen of this kingdom. And then he sends you as a representative to the world. This is one of the areas that I think we need more discussion in, the assignment. What am I called to do? I know why I'm born, but what am I called to do? What am I called to do in this year, 2010? What am I called to do 2011? What am I called to do 2012? What am I called to do today? What am I called to do? I know I'm called to write books. So every day I have to write a page of a book. And over the next 10 years, I will produce 30 books. That means I'm going to be writing 3 books a year. Isn't that interesting? So one of my assignments, no matter what I do, I've got to sit down and write at least 1 page a day. That's an assignment. Why? Because I'm called to be an author. But calling to be an author simply means that I understand that as I write, I have one purpose, and that is unlock human potential for leadership, for innovation, and service to humanity. And so everything that I do is unlocking something in an individual so that they can become the best that they could. Whether I'm writing about prayer, we want to raise up prayer generals. Whether I'm writing about leadership, we want to raise up moral, ethical leadership. Whether I'm writing about finances, we want you to be kingdom underwriters. We want you to be a kingdom millionaire. What is a kingdom millionaire? Not only people that make millions, but people that give millions to the kingdom. Are you hearing me? No matter what it is, what as I'm writing, my assignments have to do with my purpose. Now, an assignment is a prophetic employment. It's how God divinely employs you to fulfill a specific part of his redemptive plan for humanity. So he has humanity in his mind, and he's going to allow you to play a role as a part of the redemptive plan of God. My role that I'm playing is to unlock the hidden seed of greatness in each one of you. So when you sit, my words are formed so that it can unlock something. It'll pique your attention. You walk away and you say, oh, okay, so maybe God does want to use me. That's my assignment in the kingdom. So whether I bounce off the wall or whether I lecture or whether I sing, because you're listening, whatever it takes, God wants me to unlock the human potential. It is divinely given by God. In a million years, I never would have thought that this would have been my portion. But it is. Why? Because it's divinely given by God. It is your righteous responsibility. When we talk about an assignment, it is your righteous responsibility. When we talk about your assignment, it is a kingdom undertaking. Your assignment is your response to a divine word spoken in eternity past concerning your life and your destiny. You didn't just show up and all of a sudden God said, oh my goodness, I didn't expect Cindy Trim to be born. And so what am I going to get her to do? And Holy Spirit, you have any ideas? No. Jesus, you have any ideas? Well, make her a rock artist. God doesn't talk like that. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, you were purpose built for your assignment. The way you think, the way you communicate has to do with your assignment, and you should not be changing because you don't fit in. Sometimes you don't fit in because you shouldn't fit in. So instead of blending in, blend out. Because your personality has to do with what God has called you to do. Turn with me to Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10. Drive-by shooting, and I'm almost there. Amen, and I'm almost there. The Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, are you there? Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, in other words, nobody else heard it. When I told my mother that I was going to be preaching and I'm going to leave, my mother was concerned. Why would you want to leave a successful career? To do what? How are you going to make money? What are you going to do? Where are you going to live? And I had to say, wherever the Lord. And they started praying like, is there something wrong with my daughter? I heard it. And sometimes when God speaks to you, you are going to take courage. Denise was born in Canada. You're a Canuck. She was born in Canada. Why didn't she marry a nice businessman where her life would be stable rather than an American that said, God told me to build a church and we're going to build it. Why can't he? Why? What is it about you? Why? Why not a Canadian? Why this assignment? Sometimes you cannot explain it to people. Why? Because God is speaking to you. You've got to have a conversation. God, what do you, not what people want me to do. What do you want me to do? This is God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. That word know means I had a relationship with you. God has a relationship with all of us. That's why when you pray our Father, not my Father, but ours. God has a relationship with all of us. He said, before you came forth out of the womb, check this out, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nation. What do you mean? Before you came out of your mother's womb, you were either going to be a doctor, a scientist, a lawyer, a preacher, an architect. Before you even came out of your mother's womb. This means that your assignment was predetermined by God. It is your kingdom assignment to accept or to reject it. Whatever God has commissioned you to do, you've got to be able to accept it. Therefore, an assignment is also viewed as a particular position a person holds in the kingdom. It could be a rank, an office, a position, a profession, an appointment, a place, a point, a post. An assignment is selected for you by God. And you can accept it or you can reject it. It's an appointment. It's a designation that God gives you. There are several things that you need to know about an assignment. Everything in the universe has an assignment. God just doesn't create things without an assignment. The sun regulates life cycles. The moon affects tides. Together, they create seasons. They create signs, days, and years. Clothes are assigned to be worn on your body. Shoes are assigned to be worn on your feet. Trees produce carbon monoxide that we exhale or process the carbon monoxide that we exhale. And then it recycles it as oxygen that we later inhale. Grass will never grow as tall as a tree. It's assigned to be short. I tell people, I am not short, I'm under tall. But if you take the grass's assignment to keep the moisture in the ground, and if the grass decides, I'm going to be a tree and I'm going to be tall, do you realize that the whole earth will become a desert? Everything in the universe has an assignment, no matter how insignificant. Everyone in the universe has an assignment. Adam was assigned to rule in the Garden of Eden. Eve was assigned to co-rule and to support him. Seth was assigned to replace Cain. Noah was assigned to build the ark. Moses was assigned to affect the social systems and institutions in the earth realm as a lawyer. Abraham was assigned as the forerunner of the kingdom living. Joshua was assigned to lead a people into their inheritance. Aaron and Hur was assigned to support an influential leader. Jael was assigned to destroy a general. Not even the military could destroy this general with all their Scud missile. Here is a lady with a tent peg destroying a general. That was her assignment. Esther was assigned to deliver a nation. Ruth was assigned to give rise to a nation of kings and priests. Hannah was assigned as a homemaker, but she also had an awesome assignment to raise a prophet. Samuel, who happened to be the prophet, was assigned to anoint kings. Hushel was an advisor. Isaiah was a prophet. Joab was a military commander. Jacobab was a homemaker and the mother of Moses. Paul's assignment was geostrategic. He was a businessman with a marketplace ministry and an apostolic global calling. Peter's assignment was eschatological, to bring revelation of eschatology. John Mark was an evangelist and a writer. John the Baptist was a catalyst for change. Jonah was assigned as a prophet to Nineveh. Jonathan was a military commander. Aaron was assigned as a priest. Luke was assigned as an apostle. Malachi was assigned as a prophet. Mary was assigned to be the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, although they shared the same first name, was a financial underwriter of Jesus' ministry. Miriam was a prophetic dancer. Nathan was a prophet to kings. Othniel was a judge. Peter was an apostle. Pharaoh was a king. Abishai was a military officer. Ahithophel was a prophetic consultant to heads of state. Amos was a prophet. Ashiel was a military commander. Cornelius was a centurion. Daniel was a consultant and president and a prophet. David was a shepherd and a king. Deborah was a prophetess and a judge. Elijah was a prophet. Esther was a queen. Ezekiel was a prophet. Gad, Philip's daughter, were prophetess. Rebecca was a homemaker. Ruth was a maidservant. Samson was a bodybuilder and a judge. Sapphira was a realtor and a landowner. Elijah's assignment was a prophetic mentor, a healer, an educator. Elijah's assignment was to challenge and destroy the prevailing demonic bondages at a national level. He was a social reformer and a provost of a university. Joseph's assignment was to save a nation from economic depression and recession. He was the Alan Greenspan of his time. Philip's assignment was to bring change. Now check this out. Not only were there biblical assignments, but think about Alexander Graham Bell. He was assigned to develop the telecommunication systems. Mother Teresa gave hope to the outcasts and the indigent living in the slums of India. Mahatma Gandhi sharing the same kind of geographical assignment, but yet their assignments were different. She dealt with the outcasts and the indigents living in the slums in India, but his assignment was to liberate all of India from the harsh regime of British rule. Martin Luther King had an assignment that was to end segregation, the Jim Crow law affecting the African diaspora in the United States of America. Winston Churchill's assignment was to turn the tides of World War II. Everyone has an assignment, including you and I. And the third and fourth point that I want to make, and I'm not going to finish, but I'm going to stop because I see a zero back there. When it comes to an assignment, each one has of us have an assignment. We may share purpose. We may even share calling. We may be in the same geographical orientated place, geographical zip code. But each one of us have an assignment. And the earlier and the quicker you recognize it, the more successful you will be able to fulfill it. The third and fourth point. Everything in the universe has an assignment. Everybody in the universe has an assignment. Write this down. Assignments are always success oriented. In other words, when you fulfill your assignment, success is downloaded into the equation. God is not going to give you an assignment that he thinks that you're going to fail at. He's going to give you an assignment that you're going to succeed at. How do we know? Because he purpose built you to fulfill this assignment. This is what God said to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that it is written. And then he said, for then thou shalt make your way prosperous. Repeat after me. God wants me to prosper. And then have good success. Repeat after me. God wants me to succeed. Say it one more time. Turn to the person beside you and say, God wants you to succeed. That means everything in your life has come to you, not to cause you to fail, but to cause you to succeed at life. Israeli said, the secret of success is consistency of purpose. Determination today leads to success tomorrow. Success, therefore, is the sum of small efforts done repeatedly day in and day out. Success, therefore, is not an accomplishment, but the sum total of a daily habit a person employs as he attempts to fulfill his purpose. Finally, like purpose, assignment gives you and I a sense of significance, meaning, dignity, and a reason for living. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, I ordained you to be a prophet. Whatever God ordains, you have to understand that it takes a little bit of mental, spiritual toughness. Why? Because everything in the universe, in the kingdom of darkness, operating by an absence of God, an absence of light, an absence of revelation, and an absence of information, all of those elements do not have the power to help you to fulfill your assignment. And so today, God sent me here with this wonderful assignment to let you know that your life is very significant to God. And when you talk to God, you're not only going to talk to him about the world. Perhaps he wants to talk to you about how he has raised you up to become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And that is you fulfilling your assignment. Our Father and our God, I give you praise and honor and glory, and then thank you for each individual that is here today. When we talk about prayer, prayer is just one of those elusive things that people who don't have nothing else to do with their time, they spend all day talking to you. The rest of us get through 3 minutes, and then that's it for the next day. But prayer is really not just us talking to you, but you talking to us. The Bible said men ought always pray and not faint. That is because prayer is not only about us talking to you, it's about you talking to us. And there's a big conversation that's going on. You said you rise up early and you were speaking, but man is not always listening. Today, Father, I pray that you would anoint our ears, that we will be able to hear what thus saith God. And there's a big conversation going on. Why? Because I love to hear someone talk about the wonderful things that I'm called to do and to talk about the wonderful person that I am. But not only me. There's enough bad news and sad news. You want to talk to us about who we really are, where we come from, what you've left as an inheritance. You want to talk to us about things such as destiny and purpose and vision. You want to talk to us and give us strategies. You want to teach us how to discern the times and seasons. You want to talk to us about assignment. You want to talk to us about legacy. We don't want to die and not leave our footprints. We want to do something significant. We want to be a part of the redemptive plan so that you can restore hope, meaning, purpose, dignity to humanity. You called us into this kingdom like you called Esther for such a time as this. The world needs change agents. The world needs messengers of hope. The world needs moral, ethical, visionary, transformational leadership. And Father, we are saying, here am I, send me. I seal this word in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I preached an entire message called The Assignment, and I wrote 235 things that you need to know about your assignment. I was able to share 5 things. So there's 230 left. I think we have some at the table. And if you don't see it at the table, you could visit us on our website, www.cindytrim.com. That's easy. And you can order it. I want to encourage each one of you, please order this book. You can find it in the bookstore if we run out. Not only should you buy this for yourself, you should get it as a gift for your children. All of my nieces and all of my nephews, I made them buy it. And they bought it and they transformed their lives. I made my entire family buy it. They had to pay me money. People do not value things that they don't invest in. The greatest thing that you can invest in today is information. If you value your life, you will spend more money investing in information. I was in pastor's office. I'm overstimulated because I love books. And he's a man that gets information to feed you information. I salute you one more time. Today, it might be just one or two of you that are here and you might say, I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior. And Dr. Trim, I really do want to have a conversation with God. My life needs to come into a divine alignment, and I just want meaning and purpose. If you are here today and you don't know the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to reconnect. I spend my life giving away gifts, and the greatest gift that I can give you is eternal life. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves. Sin doesn't prohibit you from going to heaven, but your failure to accept Jesus as your personal Savior does. If you were to die tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you go to heaven? If your answer is no, why can't I give you the gift? This is not an invitation for you to try to figure out all the things you're going to confess about the things that you did when you were 2 and 3. You couldn't remember it all. The Bible said if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, you shall be saved. And boy, do we need salvation today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's just pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I've tried to do the best that I could, and I'm ending up in kind of a mess, and I need your help today. And so I accept Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. Amen. If that is the first time you prayed that prayer, or a prayer similar to that, where you accepted the Lord as your Savior, would you do me a favor? Would you just stand up? Dr. Trim, this is the first time. Thank you so very much. Is another person? This is the first time I prayed this prayer. Thank you so much. Or a prayer similar to that. Would you do me a favor? I just want to touch your hand. Can I just touch your hand? Would you come down? And this is you confessing the Lord in front of people. Amen. God be with you. God be with you. God has great things for you. Amen. God be with you. If you would do me a favor, strong men cry. And the tears are just God washing your sins away. Would you just look up to the sky? Just let the tears come down. Look up there. Look up. God just took your picture. He erased your name out of the book of death and he put it in the book of life. And if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven. He makes all things new. And this is a beautiful church and they want to help you on your journey as a believer. And they have this new members class. I just so happened to read it. It's incredible. It is off the chain. And they want to help you to understand what it means to be a believer. And there's going to be someone that's going to come and take your name. And they want to write your name down. And they're going to give you a call and they're going to follow up with you. But today I just want you to turn around. Just 1 minute. Brothers and sisters, please welcome to the family of God your new brother and your new sister in the kingdom. We celebrate you today and welcome you to the family of God and welcome you to harvest time. Your life will never be the same again. Amen. I believe there's going to be somebody that's going to come to take your name. Amen. And I'm not too sure about the routine. I'm new here too, but I love this church. If I lived in this area, this will be my church. Amen. I will be in the hip hop crew group. Amen. But there's going to be someone that's going to come and just take your name. And if you can, am I doing the right way? Amen. And they're going to come take your name. And if you could just follow that lady right there, over there. See that beautiful lady? They have all beautiful people here. Follow the beautiful lady over there. And they'll take your name. And they'll get you right back to your seat. Let's put our hands together. One more thing I want to ask. You may be a believer. But you might say, Dr. Shrim, I really need to know about my purpose. And I really want to learn how to talk to God like this. And I want to do my assignment. And would you just pray for me that you would break any kind of prohibiting forces that will prevent? And would you pray a prayer of protection around my mind and my spirit? Because I plan to do the work and the will of God. And if that is you today, please come on up. You know what my assignment is. Leave your seat and say, Dr. Shrim, I want to work with Pastor. And I want to do some great things. And I want to be a part of what's going on. And we could do some great things together. Come straight up. And some of you, the tears are going to be coming down. Just let the tears go because that means that we'll come closer. That means that's what God is doing. He's just touching you and he's igniting you. You got all that greatness on the inside and you are waiting for someone to recognize it. I recognize greatness. The person on your left and right is a great person. Hit the person beside you. Say, she's talking about me. Oh, yes. You're going to be doing some great things together. Just raise your hands. It don't have to be that high. Say, Lord Jesus, I've been waiting for this moment. And this is a defining moment for me. Firstly, God, teach me how to pray. Just give me the strategy. I want to pray more effectively. And then, Father, when I pray, give me the patience and discipline to wait for the answer. Give me the ear so that I can hear. Would you lay hands on your own ears? Lay hands on your ears. Just touch it. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that our ears are open to what the Spirit is speaking expressly to the church. And Father, in the realm of the Spirit, some of us have listened to so many things, so much negativity that it is affecting our faith. But I decree and declare that the voice of the enemy is silenced now in Jesus' name. And I command all spiritual deafness. I command the deaf and dumb spirit to loose right now. And I decree and declare your ears are being opened now. I open your ears and you are going to hear God as I release upon you the anointing of Samuel. You will begin to know God's voice and he will begin to speak to you in such a way that it will be unique to you. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I command your ears to be open now.